And we found that in total, 6 trainings were conducted, 4 for police and 2 for the army. I forgot to add here that in each of the trainings, it was about between 35 to 50 participants. But they all took place in Jakarta. And everybody who received this training were from the island of Java. And one of the things that we know is that the highest number of violations, human rights violations by law enforcement officials, are actually taking place in West Papua, in Aceh, etc. But none of them received any of the training. And another thing that's really, another thing that's also really interesting, in fact, is the technical assistance that they received. Now, the recommendation was actually put forward by Norway, and so that now means that Norway, any kind of recommendation that's put forward serves as a bilateral agreement between the state that's making the recommendation and then the state under review. So then, one thing that civil society have been doing is really also following up on priority recommendations with the states that are making the recommendation to ensure that it is implemented. So this recommendation was made by Norway, and Norway followed through by providing the necessary technical and financial assistance, both bilaterally as Norway and also through the EU as well. However, after these 6 trainings were conducted, there wasn't really any follow-up. There was no monitoring of progress of the recipients of the training, of how they've kind of applied their learnings, etc. Most interestingly, when we come to the outcome level, the question was, well, then, okay, then what? Let's put this kind of, let's correspond this with then the number of violations that have been documented by law enforcement officials in that same period of time. And we actually found that when it comes to custodial torture and extrajudicial executions, that the number of documented violations from 2008 to 2012 was actually on the increase in total in the country. In some parts of the country, it remained the same, no change. But there happened to be actually a particular particular event in West Papua that actually made the overall figure go up over the course of the 4 years. So then, you know, it kind of brings into question then how we are measuring or how to assess the implementation. And we find that it's extremely complicated, time-consuming, and difficult to access a lot of this data for every single recommendation made for all the countries. It's almost impossible. So what a lot of our members and partners have done at the national level instead is that they've picked priority recommendations, between 5 to 10 priorities, and they've tried to engage in an exercise like this for those 5 to 10 recommendations. And they tried to feed into the second cycle of the UPR by providing updated information on the implementing status of previous recommendations, and the new recommendations would then correspond to their findings, basically.